Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today we're going to talk about, this particular episode is going to talk about athletes. And we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to get our guests back on the line. And we'll be back in one moment from a word from our sponsor, Apple Capital Group.
Welcome back to the Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet. You're listening to the Core Business Show. Sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to the Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Okay, we're back with Warren, and we're going to talk about today, I think, one of his books. But Warren, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself. Our audience really like to hear personal views. Know where the person is from, kind of a personal into it. But you might share us your story, where you're from, and how you came to write your books.
Well, basically, born and raised in the Philadelphia area, went to college about 90 miles west of Philly in Lancaster, and became very involved with youth sports when my daughter was playing softball and basketball through the clubs and travel, and ended up playing through Division III at Ursinus College, both sports.
Wow.
And with my background, having played high school, college, semi-professional basketball, I started seeing a lot of different things that were happening in the female side of youth sports that didn't make any sense to me. And I always wanted to work with youth. So as my three children got out of the house, I spent more and more time working on it and found that these youngsters were getting, beat up pretty badly in the sense that they were having injuries at a much higher rate than their male peers. And it led me to working with my colleagues to develop safe and age-appropriate training, and that's part of what I've written about in my book, They're Not Boys, Safely Training the Adolescent Female Athlete. I also have expertise in low back pain personally, where I was misdiagnosed by five doctors for 2.5 years And it turned out that I did require a double spinal fusion, but
wow.
For most people, with conservative treatment, different postures, different exercises, and I wrote about that almost 20 years ago in my book, Your Lower Back. So basically, I'm trying to help people stay healthy. That's my bottom line.
Wow. So tell us some of the things that you, as your daughters were coming up in sports, the things that was a main concern to you, why things either wasn't equal or they were injuring themselves?
What I saw was a lot of unhappiness. And I grew up in an era where you just played sports because you love them. You know, nobody was pressuring you. Parents weren't with you 100% of the time. You were playing on the playground. And here I'm seeing female athletes, teenagers, lots of crying, lots of popping over-the-counter medications, lots of stuff yelling back and forth from coaches and parents to the kids. And none of it made sense to me. So what I did was I started looking into it and did some research and found out that females were being trained as if they were males, and there's certain challenges at puberty that female athletes have that necessitate a different type of training so that they're not at risk for non-contact ACL, which is the knee, the ligament in the knee, injuries. So that's what I started focusing on, and some 16 years later, over 600 kids have been trained, and knock on wood, not one has ever had a ACL injury. Mm-hmm. And for the overhead athletes, tennis players, volleyball players, softball, no one's ever had a rotator cuff injury. So I feel very good about that, and they've all been able to play their sports at a higher level than before they started with me.
So what type of injuries, once they reach that, the age of puberty, that they're going to have issues that, I guess, can compare it to boys, they won't have the same type of issues?
Well, what happens is that the research shows that at puberty, males have what's called a neuromuscular spurt. And this is foreign to most people's thinking because they don't understand what do you mean you're going to train the nervous system. And you have to understand that there's certain receptors that help the muscles grow and become better and send signals faster to the brain and back. And basically, you have to train the tendons and the ligaments before you're training the muscles. And when I started talking about this 16 years ago, people looked at me like I was crazy. But then 6, 8, 10, 13 weeks later, they saw such an improvement in their female athlete that they said, well, you know, something, he must know something about what he's doing. So basically, the females do not have this neuromuscular spurt. And there's a leading researcher at Ohio State University, Tim Hewitt, and the way he tries to explain it is that boys and girls are both born with Chevy engines. And at puberty, the boys end up, with a Cadillac or Porsche engine, and the girls just end up with a little advanced Chevy engine without training. So there's so many other areas that I've pointed out that the upper muscle in the front of the leg called the quadricep, females are more dominant with their quadriceps, and you have to be able to get the hamstrings in the back of the upper leg to be able to work more efficiently because girls don't recruit those muscles the way boys do. And then it even goes down to the skeletal system where girls, as we all know, are programmed to give birth, and their pelvic area is actually a little bit more towards the front of the body than the male, which also contributes to some possible challenges. And basically the good news is this can be trained. The bad news is that if amount of injuries that occur each year, over 200,000 in just the teen female population, that leads to over 1 million patient visits and some 40,000 plus surgeries just for the ACL, just for the knee. So one of the leading researchers, Dr. Voitis at the University of Michigan, says that this is a silent epidemic and it's becoming a public health challenge. And if you know anything about doctors, they choose their words very carefully. And when they start talking about a public health challenge, it shows you how frustrated they are that they haven't been able to reach the youth sports scene.
Okay. Are there any particular, physically, any particular sports that females excel in than versus the male counterparts? Or, and question two, are there certain sports that not only they excel in, but some sports they shouldn't be doing?
Well, that's not an easy question to answer because females can play every sport. The problem sports are the sports where you have a lot of cutting and jumping and angles. So you're looking at basketball, volleyball, soccer. That's where a lot of the injuries come from. The problem that you have is, if you think about it, Title IX legislation, which provided females with equal opportunity to sports participation, is only 40 years old, but there were challenges to the law, and really it's only the last 20, 24 years where the females' sports participation has exploded. And the youth sports culture has treated them as though they're small adults, and they haven't thought about issues like a professional athlete, female or male, is going to make gains in the preseason, and then during the season, they're going to try to maintain those gains so their body doesn't fatigue and lead to injury. So the bottom line is that if you look at the youth sports environment today, it's about 10.5 months out of the year. On top of that, these youngsters are playing high school sports, and they just don't have enough time during the year to rest their bodies, rest their minds, and it's another reason that the females are being injured. And there's a sports initiative from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons called Stop Youth Sports Injuries, and they're trying to reach out to the male population because of this overexposure to sports throughout the year. So, you know, there's no sport that a child shouldn't play, and then generally when they get to be a teen, they'll start focusing on the sport or sports that they love to play, and nobody has to then push them anymore.
Wow. So you're saying that really they need to continue throughout the year, or I know some of them will take a break off and then they'll start maybe late July to get ready for the upcoming year. You're saying that they need to be trained, I mean, the training needs to be consistent throughout the year?
Well, basically what has to happen is that you make the gains before a season. So let's use youth soccer as an example. Right now, youth soccer is playing all through the summer. Then in the high school season, depending on what part of the country you're in, is either the fall or the winter. Some places it's even the spring. Well, the club coaches will play these kids right up until the time the high school program starts, and then they go through the season. So there's really a blur. And, you know, one of the things that we try to emphasize is that these kids aren't really taught how to eat properly. They're not taught how, you know, how much rest they need. So the more they cheat on that, the more fatigued they become. And there's research that shows that 2/3 of all injuries occur in the last 1/3 of practice or play. So it really behooves an individual to get proper nutrition, proper and train their body to play sports. That's the bottom line message. Historically, girls have not trained, and males have trained, and now we have to get the girls to value training to play all sports.
When we look at a certain age group with female athletes, is there? If I have a daughter who I want to push into soccer or push into softball, what age is appropriate for them to really be considered in taking those type of sports?
Well, you know, this isn't going to be a popular answer, but people may not be aware that in Europe and South America, kids don't even play sports for winning and losing until they're about 14 years old. It's all developmental. In soccer, directional kicking is a problem for females because of the rotation of the trunk and the hips. So if you're going to have a culture where you have 8 and under, 10 and under, 12 and under, 14 and under national championships, which is not going to go away, then basically the researchers are saying we need to reach down to the 9 to 12-year-olds and start training them before they hit puberty so that they have some muscle memory and development. And in order to do that, we have to get the club coaches who are parents that are providing all these volunteer services and try to get them to understand this is what's needed if you're going to play 10 and a half, 11 months out of the year. So this is what we're faced with, and nobody's saying that it's bad. What we're saying is that if this is what is going to happen, then this is what the coaches, the volunteer coaches, need to do. They need to get certified and be able to help these kids so that they can stay injury-free. And I might add that one of the real negatives for the female athlete is that over 70% who have an ACL, a knee injury, whether it requires surgery or not, within 12 years they'll have osteoarthritis in the joint that they injure, and 60% of them are then more likely to injure the healthy joint. So you have this potential, and we now see it, that you have young women in their late 20s, early 30s, who are walking around and needing medication from doctors or over-the-counter medications because of their youth sports injuries, and we need to minimize that. That's one of the keys.
Mm-hmm. Wow. When you decided to write this book several years ago, what inspired you to write the book? I know you touched on it at the very top of the hour about your family and why you've written the book. So kind of give us some in-depth and how you put your book together and put the whole thing together overall.
Well, the lower back book was interesting because 80% of people over 40 years old are going to have one bout with lower back pain in their lifetime. And unfortunately, I had 5 doctors misdiagnose me, not because they were trying to, but mine came along before MRIs, even before CAT scans. And when I got through this, I had lost basically 4 years of my life because I was in so much pain. They were just giving me pills and pushing me from doctor to doctor before I got the right diagnosis. I looked at my wife, and we both said to each other, it'd be a sin if somebody else had to go through this. So the impetus for writing the low back book was let people read that, you know, there is a way to try to overcome this and stay strong and see the light at the end of the tunnel and make sure you need to do on a daily basis what you have to do. With the female athlete, I was now in my mid-40s, and it just broke my heart to see these young kids not having the same very positive experience that I had in sports. And the more I dug into it, the more I found that, you know, there was a real need. I mean, 16 years ago, nobody was doing what I was doing for female athletes. Now we're finding out that all the different things that my colleagues and I put together is what's being recommended by the researchers. So, again, it was, you know, me trying to help other parents say, you know, that you don't have to accept injury as part of the female athlete's sports experience.
Okay. And when you came up with the book, They're Not Boys, Safety Training for Adolescents, Female Athlete, how is the book put together in one sense? Is it put together like a catalog and it goes through specific type things that you should to address, or how is the book composed altogether, if you don't mind?
Oh, no. I mean, I put the book together from two different viewpoints. One viewpoint is of the person who wants all of the information, and the other viewpoint was the person who just wants to say, okay, I accept the fact that there's a foundation of information. Here's what I need to do. So I have more than 50 leading researchers throughout the world, their conclusions about what needs to be done to help the female athlete. And then I also have the information that if you're going to train, here's what you need to look for. If you have a trainer in your area, make sure they do a medical history. Make sure they do a clearance. Make sure you're cleared from your doctor to play and participate. And, you know, do they have a history of working with female athletes? Because, unfortunately, too many trainers are training females as if they were males. So, you know, we have CEU courses since 2003 at ISSAonline.com, and we've helped hundreds of trainers throughout the world learn how to develop safe and age-appropriate training for adolescent female athletes. And we're hoping that as more and more people understand that this is a real issue and it shouldn't be ignored, that we're going to see over the next decade or so the athletes not having as many injuries as they've had historically, which is at an unprecedented rate.
Well, what type of item things happen if you get a coach? I mean, you really, that's a good question to ask. Have you actually trained females? Because they might have a mixed group. What concerns that? What questions the parent needs to ask? Is it, have you trained all females, or you just trained a mixed group? Or kind of tell us how to approach a particular coach so you can make sure you're protecting your child from
injury. The average volunteer coach is a parent who has a love of sports, and in their mind, there's no difference between males and females, boys and girls. And for the most part, prior to puberty, you can see that, you know, girls playing little league softball once in a while, you'll find them even playing football, and generally they can compete. So what happens is at puberty, the testosterone takes off for the males, and for the females, the estrogen starts to climb, and this is when the differences occur. So what the researchers are trying to say now is, the population of 9 to 12-year-old female athletes, these are the kids that now need to learn how to recruit their hamstrings, how to make sure that the muscles around the knee are appropriate, make sure that the hips, knees, and ankles, that kinetic chain is working the right way. And that's what we're trying to do now, is put together these certification courses where for a very cost-effective amount of money, maybe $20, $24 for a two-year period, the coaches can go online, get the information, and then implement it in their home programs. And this is what needs to be done in the future if we're going to try to minimize these injuries.
Okay. How sports nutrition play a part of this whole process? Is it equally as important the way they train? it should be overlooked, or what type of dietary things that the athlete needs to be aware of?
To my knowledge, our program was the first in the country to be what we call integrated, where we taught sports nutrition, how to eat for daily energy, how to manage your time successfully, how to focus between the lines. And when you say how important is nutrition, it's so important that the average person doesn't realize that in the summer, if you're in hot weather and you're not drinking enough so your body says, I'm thirsty, you've already lost 2% of your ability to play your sport at an optimum level. So teaching these kids how to eat properly means they can't be afraid of carbohydrates. And what's very interesting about females, especially the teen female, is I'll show them a picture in a magazine of a model who has a bikini on or a dress or whatever, and I say, is that a real picture? And they'll say, about half of them will say, no, that's airbrushed. And I said, well, that means if that female walked in this door right now, she wouldn't look the way she does. Well, intellectually, they understand that, but yet that image is so forceful on them that it leads them to not eat properly. And then I ask the question, how many calories do you need on a day when you play sports for 60 minutes or more at a medium to hard level? And they'll say, oh, the same amount as any other day. And when I tell them they need 150% more calories and they need to get carbohydrates and protein, they start saying, well, I'll get fat. And they don't understand carbs have been given such a bad knock in the last 10, 15 years. They don't understand how that carbohydrates provide the energy for the body. So when you ask about nutrition and rest are so huge, getting the right vitamins and minerals, hydrating your body, and then getting enough protein, carbohydrates, and the proper amount of fat each day. Make sure you have good nails, shiny hair. So, yeah, I mean, I wish that the schools were teaching all this, but, you know, it's just not part of the curriculum in this day and age, especially with all the cuts to education that we've seen in the last 5+ years.
Okay. One last question. Should a parent look at if their child is slightly overweight or slightly obese, and they want to try to get them into sports to trim down, what's your advice to them? Should this be a good avenue for them to take to become more active?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's always to be more active, but there's three body types, and the three body types, you know, I'm not going to give you the scientific name, but basically we're looking at the thin to skinny person, the medium, and then the person who is bigger boned. And the key is making sure that the bigger boned person isn't trying to starve themselves to become skinny, and the skinny person says, well, I'm going to try to become like the big bone person. You have to take what you have. If you have a child that's already heavy, then you have to really figure out how much protein, how much carbohydrate, how much of the proper fat with vitamins, minerals, and daily hydration is necessary for the amount of activity that they have. But participating in sports can actually be wonderful, and yet, you know, I could take you to softball games, basketball games, anything other than swimming and gymnastics, where you'll see all the different body types. So, you know, you have to understand that we're all not the same, and you're talking to someone who, on my father's side of the family, we have no metabolism unless we can exercise. So I know what it's like to be a person who my whole life, my metabolism is so much lower than the average person, and you have to understand how that works. So you just can't give one blanket answer. You have to say to people, this is something you really have to look into, maybe even with your primary doctor.
Okay. Lastly, to kind of recap your book, anything you'd like to share? I mean, you have a look at the table of content, and there's a really great program here. Sports Nutrition is there. A lot of things regarding the injury and so forth. Anything else, if in a nutshell, if you want to wrap up about your book and, of course, where to get your book and talk about your website, and any last words?
Well, sure. Thanks for that opportunity. I was very lucky. Coach Dawn Redd is a leading female Division III volleyball and track coach, and she wrote an outstanding chapter on what volunteer coaches and coaches in general need to understand about coaching females, because they're a lot different to coach than males. I also wanted to make sure there was some historic information, and Dr. Ryder from California Lutheran University shares what she calls her blue shoe story about what it was like to be a female athlete before Title IX and then after. And then, as you said, I even have an appendix, an addendum, on in this day and age of texting and Twitter and Facebook to have these kids understand that, you know, you can't be mean, because now you have a history of being mean. And people will find out, and it can come to haunt you trying to get into colleges, trying to get a job, whatever. So I've tried to run the gamut. We have some nutrition information for athletes. We have all the stuff that people need to do to get the basics. And then when they're at home, then they can decide, okay, if I have the income, maybe I want one-on-one training. Maybe I can afford group training. Maybe I'll purchase a program over the internet. And the program that we have available is at www.learntotrainsafely.com. That's the number 2. So it's learn2trainsafely.com. And They're Not Boys, Safely Training Adolescent Female Athlete is available as a paperback and as a Kindle ebook on Amazon.com/books. So, again, I thank you for this time, and I hope that, you know, we can keep educating and helping as many parents so that their daughter athletes stay as healthy as possible and have a great sports experience.
Thank you so much, Warren. I really appreciate you coming on to the program. And give us your website address again.
Learn2trainsafely.com. One string, but it's the number 2 after learn. So LEARN 2, number 2, trainsafely.com.
Okay. And lastly, the title of your book, They're Not Boys, Safely Training for Adolescent Female Athlete. And that can be found on Amazon and some other book outlets as well?
Absolutely.
Okay, and also as a Kindle release on it. Well, thank you again. I really appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks again.
Okay, have a great one. Again, you've been listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio. You should get a transcript on this. It's going to be available at the end of the day at blog.applecapitalgroup. Everybody, thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.